Saturday, February 17th, 2004. And if I could just get it so that I don't hear myself. There we go. Thank you very much. Very early this morning, so I understand this. I'm actually coming to you live from Southern California again. So while the show goes live in Austin, Texas at 9 o'clock a.m., a more manageable area a time for me, it's actually just after 7 a.m. Pacific time here. So bear with me, everyone. I hate getting up this early. Anyway, I'm glad to be back. What a week. Glad to be here. I want to just say again, this time next Saturday, I will be in Sedona, Arizona, doing an all-day workshop at the Poco Diablo Resort. And you can go to AdventuresInLegalLand.com, go into the section under Store, and you can click on the link for the seminar, and it gives a bunch of details where it's located. It's only $50 a piece. I give a couple of very, very brief excerpts from each script that we'll be going over. So we're filling up quick, so you definitely want to sign up today. That's AdventuresInLegalLand.com. One of the things I want to mention, we'll be taking your calls today. You got any questions, comments about legal procedure? If you have a traffic case, you know somebody with a traffic or a drug case or something like that, give us a call. 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. And, we'll take your calls. One of the things that I found out this week, this is funny, it's in the Orange County News or the Orlando Sentinel, and, the headline is, neo-Nazi rally was organized by FBI informant. It says a paid FBI informant was a man behind a neo-Nazi march through the streets in Paramount that stirred up anxiety in Orlando's black community and fears of racial unrest that triggered a major police mobilization. Wow, and so they're alleging that this neo-Nazi rally, March, was actually organized by the FBI. That, let's see. If it was all staged, I would feel very uncomfortable and ask for a full-scale investigation. To come into a predominantly black community, which could have resulted in great harm to the black community, I would hate to be a part of the game. It's a mockery of the community for someone else to be playing a game with the community. What do you think the FBI said? Oh, here it is there next day or so. FBI says no role in staging march. The FBI played no role in staging a neo-Nazi rally last year in Orlando, a statement released Friday says. Questions about the Bureau's possible involvement were raised earlier this week when a hearing in federal court disclosed that a paid FBI informant and member of the National Socialist Movement organized the white supremacist march. It says in no way did the FBI initiate, organize, or sponsor the NSM rally, the statement from the state agency's Orlando office says. And what is it that you always hear, whether it's TV, radio, whatever, that when they put the NSA or someone on a mission, and if you're caught, we will deny we know you, that there's any involvement. Whether there was or not, I think it's a matter of a historical record of the United States government participating in terrorist activities and causing problems at rallies, where you can have a peaceful rally and you always have the inevitable violence by the so-called anarchists, which if anybody knows anything about anarchy, you know anarchy is an absence of government. An anarchist is somebody who believes that the initiation of the use of physical force is wrong, which is why government's wrong. So it doesn't make sense why you would have an anarchist initiating violence at a peace rally. Just absolutely ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. I just want to move on. I can hear the phone ringing, so if we can pot that down, hopefully it didn't come out over the air. One of the things I wanted to mention, that somebody I know in California here had recently filed a motion for a lack of standing. One of the things, the motions that I sell, but not that I advise anybody to use the information and using court. So he made his own decision. He used it because I sell them only for education and entertainment purposes only, basically to expose the fact that these people are a bunch of con men. So he filed it in a case here in California, and he gets a response back from the county attorney. It's very interesting. And mind you, this is about a lack of standing. And what he comes back with was absolutely laughable. Now, I want you to keep in mind, this isn't really a personal attack against the county attorney, and I'm not going to use his name on the air. Maybe not this time. Maybe he'll want to come on the show and discuss his paperwork on the air, but I doubt that. They're notorious not wanting to discuss these things in public. See, this is one of the reasons why they get away with a lot of this stuff, because you're not getting a lot of attention on their responses and what's going on in these court cases. It's like, was what happened to Dr. Dean down in Florida, was that national news? No. So, again, for those just tuning in, people who are not familiar with the material, standing has to do with having the legal justification, the legal grounds to be able to complain against somebody in court. And like they said, this California Supreme Court has pointed out hundreds and hundreds of times, without standing, there's no actual or justiciable controversy in courts, will not entertain such cases. As whether one has standing in a particular case, generally revolved around the question whether that person has rights that may suffer some injury, actual threatened. They also say typically the standing inquiry requires careful judicial examination of a complaint's allegations to ascertain whether the particular plaintiff is entitled to an adjudication of the particular claims asserted. Now, what the county attorney did, now when the motion for lack of standing is bringing up the fact that the complaint does not allege injury and does not allege a legal right that has been violated. And the county attorney comes back and the offense consists of two separate things. One, the defendant did not mail me a copy. Whether that's true or not, I can't say. I don't know. But that's his main defense. He didn't mail me a copy. The other part of his defense to the motion to dismiss is what you would probably expect if you've been in the game long enough, and that is, well, I'm the county attorney. I have standing because I'm the county attorney. There's a statute that says I can bring complaints. I'm the county attorney. I represent the people. I have standing because I'm the county attorney. But nowhere here does it say who the alleged plaintiff is being represented by is an issue of standing. Who cares who your attorney is? As a general principle, standing to invoke the judicial process requires an actionable, justiciable controversy as to which the complainant has a real interest in the ultimate adjudication because he or she has suffered or is about to suffer an injury. People versus Superior Court, 126, California Reporter, 2nd edition, page 793. It doesn't say anything in here that having a county attorney represent you gives you a justiciable controversy. Maybe I'm just wrong. Maybe I'm just reading something into this. Maybe, it's like a lot of these people like to say, it doesn't apply to the government. Standing doesn't apply. Well, the county attorney didn't put that in his response. He just said, I'm the county attorney, and that gives me standing. He acknowledges that standing is a pretty important issue. He acknowledges that. It's not like he's blowing it off and saying, I'm the county attorney. I don't need to have standing. I can bring a complaint based on nothing, and the court has to take jurisdiction. No, he is acknowledging, he's definitely acknowledging standing is critical. But I think we can all agree that Just because you have a particular attorney or don't have a particular attorney, that has nothing to do with whether you have a justiciable case or controversy. Because, of course, a justiciable case or controversy involves three elements. And the three elements, of course, are you have to have the invasion of a legal right, and you have to have damage, and there has to be more than just a slight chance of redressability, that they have to be able to redress the injury. So that's none of these three elements appeared in this particular case. So I don't think just getting up there and grandstanding, hey, I'm the county attorney. Okay, where is the injury? So it's going to be very interesting to see how that plays out. Maybe I'll be able to post the county attorney's response so everybody can get a good laugh at that. And my name is Mark Stevens. We're taking your calls at 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443 if you have any questions or comments about court procedure or dealing with bureaucrats in general. Give us a call, 800-313-9443. Also want to point out the video that I have posted on the website and on Google Video. You go to the drug war scam. I want to thank everyone for sending the link out. We've got over 1,600 hits. We have over 1,600 hits. I believe we can get a lot more than that, because I tell you right now, I from personal experience, even though this information is very easily verifiable about corpus delicti and whatnot, that you would think that with 500,000 people in jail on bogus charges, that there's no corpus delicti, which is required in every criminal case, you would think that would be headline news. Well, let me tell you, it's not. And it's up to us to get this information out, because you're not going to get it in the mainstream media, and you will not probably get it in even the alternative media, because I know from personal experience, and we could talk about more of this later. Only two venues have picked up the video and linked it so far, and I want to thank Ernie Hancock with Freedom's Phoenix. He posted the link, and Rob and everyone at StrikeTheRoot.com, they do an excellent job of putting the truth up. StrikeTheRoot.com posted the link to the video. I want to thank him for that, and also for making it the editor's pick. I want to move to a call. We have John in Tennessee. John, welcome to the No State Project.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing great.
Well, I have a question and then a quick story about my time in the courtroom. My question is, how would you address a video or a camera traffic enforcement, like photo lights? I mean, do we not have the are we not able to face an accuser? We have to take a camera and enforce the law?
Well, a lot of places have actually kicked those cases out because you cannot meet your accuser.
Well,
that's happened quite a bit. But I'm glad you brought it up. You're talking about actually addressing whatever so-called merits of the case may be there. I don't think you can even if you follow the issue of standing and subject matter jurisdiction, it's impossible to even get to a point where you could challenge the merits or as far as confronting your accuser. You know, you even look into the fact and I've mentioned this before a number of times, and this is for entertainment purposes only, of course. We've had a number of cases thrown out that people have just said motion to dismiss for a failure to enjoin an indispensable party. That 90% of the time that indispensable party is Lockheed Martin, because Lockheed Martin is getting about 45% of the ticket.
Well, it's not just Lockheed Martin. There's private company here in Tennessee and they've got these traffic cameras in the most ridiculous places, you know, going down a hill where if it's raining and the light goes yellow, you're going to slam your brakes on rather than get a ticket.
Yeah, they had about 400 cases or so thrown out in just San Diego alone, because what they were doing also was the how long the yellow light should be is supposed to be set by law to be, you know, with safety in mind. And what they did was they cut it in half.
I know, well, I brought that to the attention of the people here that have been affected by the ticket. I've told them go out and videotape or time the lights, and basically it's a revenue stream for the city. I mean, for me, I drive for a living, so if I get a ticket for running through a red light, I have to pay the traffic fine. But then it costs me $750 out of my bonus that my company has set up for safe performance. I get one ticket going through a red light, it's $750 out of my pocket. And to me, that's ridiculous.
It is, and there's, you know, and I'm going to be doing another video for the second half of this issue of standing. We're dealing with just the civil, because most of these traffic tickets are civil, and the fact is, there's no justiciable kick to controversy there. Well, let me hold you over for the break, John, we'll be right back. My name is Mark Stevens. You're listening to the No Stay Project here on the Republic Broadcast Network. Give us a call, 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. We'll be right back.
Many of us have unhealthy habits that we've accumulated over the years. Often our bodies are crying out for the nutritional building blocks we require to stay young and strong, but we simply ignore the signs. Inner Health Botanicals, home of Inner Food, the revolutionary energy drink, and Nutra Cafe, the healthier coffee, offers natural and organic whole food supplements that are keys to optimum health. Our Inner Food formula delivers increased energy, incredible nutrition, and consistent use will support your immune system, greatly benefiting your health. Inner Health uses as many organic, wildcrafted whole foods and herbs as possible. Wholesome nutrition and a healthy immune system make a huge difference in your lifestyle. Heal yourself through whole foods and herbal nutrition. Visit Inner Health at innerfood.com. That's ENERfood.com. Or call 866-762-9238. Inner Health is your one-stop source for energy, nutrition, and health. Look for daily specials.
PersonAlarms.com has all your self-defense needs. Check out our cell phone stun gun. Excellent protection from would-be attackers. It truly looks like a real cell phone. Also, check out our new electronic barking dog alarm. Containing microwave technology, this electronic watchdog sees through walls. The electronic barking dog alarm works when an intruder comes within 15 feet. The barking dog alarm will begin barking like a true-to-life angry German Shepherd. The closer the intruder comes, the more frequent and more threatening the barking becomes. You can purchase stun guns, stun batons, pepper spray, telephone voice changers, martial arts instructional DVDs, and the same tasers that you have seen the police use on TV and more at www.personalarms.com. That's www.personalarms.com. Or call 1-201-641-1442. Come visit us, personalarms.com. Don't be afraid anymore. Receive a free pepper spray by mentioning RBN when you place your online order. We will not sell items prohibited by any state, county, or law.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Welcome back to the No Stay Project. I'm your host, Mark Stevens. I want to quote from the Tennessee Supreme Court, City of Chattanooga v. D. Davis, 54, Southwest 3rd, page 248 and page 280. This is Tennessee Supreme Court from 2001. To establish one's standing to bring an action, a party must demonstrate, one, that it has sustained a distinct and palpable injury, two, that the injury was caused by the defendant's conduct, and three, that the injury is apt to be redressed by a remedy the court is prepared to give. I want to welcome back to the show John from Tennessee. John, does that sound like, were those three?
Well,
and the last ticket you got, were those three standards which must be there? Were all three of those standards met?
Actually, none of them were there.
Oh, my gosh. And okay. I can't believe it. Conspiracy must be. Who would have thought? And
here's something to think about, okay? Basically, I haven't been affected by it, but I know people that have. And I'm the type of person, man, I am hard to get to conform when I know I'm right. Quick story. About 10 years ago, I'm 80 miles south of Nashville in a little county called Benton. Maybe 30,000 people with an old courthouse, and they're doing some road construction. So I get a ticket by a trooper for five over. Actually, this sounds like a lame excuse, but I bent over in the truck to pull my sock up out of my boot. I seen him was speeding, so I applied the brake. Gave me a ticket. He comes up. He says, "You know, the judge is pretty good to truck drivers. He likes y'all. If you go to court, he'll probably dismiss this ticket." So I took a day off of work because I live by my license. Took a day off of work. I lost $180 in pay. Went down there, sat through court of about probably 35 different people. And if I'm lying, I'm dying. Third time DUI, send them to driver's training school. 14 pounds of marijuana, send them to drug rehab. 95 and a 50, send them to driving school. I'm the last one to be called. What do you have to say for yourself? I said, "Well, Your Honor, I was speeding, but I bent down to pick my sock up." He slammed the gavel down. "Pay the court. Pay the fine, $10, $120 court cost." And I'm going, I asked him, you know, he says, "Have you got anything to say for yourself?" I said, "Can I speak freely?" He said, "Yes, you can." I said, "Well, it sounds like y'all want a new courthouse and you're letting me help you pay for it." And he he started shouting, "I'm going to hold you in contempt." I threw my hands up and I looked at the crowd behind me and I said, "Your Honor, you told me I could speak freely." About 2 weeks later, I'm watching television and on the news, none other than this honorable justice from Benton County, Tennessee, indicted on 10 counts of selling drugs out of his house, as well as a girlfriend living with him who was not his wife, prostituting out of the judge's house. Did you hear me?
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Americans who already realize our nation is in deep trouble need special edition hard copy literature to awaken the widest possible spectrum of people to the imminence of our nation's peril. The Artificially Sweetened Times informs people that the artificial sweetener aspartame is a hidden addiction killing people worldwide with a cluster of symptoms we now call Rumsfeld's disease. Find out who's responsible for unleashing this weapon of mass misery on the world and become part of the global movement to eliminate this neurotoxic drug from our food supply. The People's Income Tax Guide cites congressional records, Supreme Court decisions, and newspaper articles at the time to prove conclusively that wages were never intended to be taxed as income. A lot has happened in the world since 9/11. The report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 disproves the government's explanation of September 11 through a careful analysis of the evidence. The Artificially Sweetened Times, the People's Income Tax Report, and the report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 are priced for mass distribution. Sample copies are just $3. Call 208-255-2307 or go to idaho-observer.com.
Can we talk?
Can we talk?
Can we talk about gun control?
Gun control?
Seems like it should work, doesn't it?
It should work.
You'd think so. Yeah.
Pass the right laws.
Pass the right laws.
And you can disarm the criminals.
You disarm them.
That's the idea.
But the problem is...
The problem?
Criminals don't obey the law.
They don't obey the law.
That's true.
After all, they're criminals.
They're criminals.
Criminals. They'll always find a way to get guns.
No matter how many laws you pass.
Which means
they still have guns.
They still have guns. While the rest of us...
The rest of us?
The rest of us are just left defenseless.
Americans who own guns, people like you and me, prevent over 1 million violent crimes every year. Get the facts on gun control. Visit armedandsecure.org. That's armedandsecure.org.
Hi, this is Steve Shank with Fearless Radio and RBN, your only source for solutions to problems of troubled times. Do you realize that 3 years ago, the JMS Food Group warned people that there would come a time when if you didn't grow it yourself or you already had it stored, you wouldn't dare eat it? Wait a minute. E. coli on our spinach and lettuce? That's our food you're talking about. You know where E. coli comes from? Feces, black water. In short, poop. We have to decide quickly to get all the food we're going to need. It's obvious that contamination can leave us hungry even before food shortages shut us down. For help ordering your food supply and protection from dishonest suppliers, call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. On the phone, 800-409-5633.
To the No Stay Project. I'm your host, Mark Stevens. Want to apologize for all the technical glitches today. Just one of those things that happens with live radio. But we'll move on. Before I forget, I want to thank all my silent sponsors. I appreciate everything you do to help support the show. I can't do it without you guys. So there's JT, Mark, and Sagas. Really appreciate that. And I'm going to make one last pitch. Really get some more support for the show to be able to keep doing the show. Really need the help. Contact me at markstevens@adventuresinlegalland.com. It's markstevens@adventuresinlegalland.com. Anything you could do to help support the show, would appreciate it. Again, give us a call at 800-313-9443. Want to get right back to the phones and finish John's story. John in Tennessee. John, welcome back to the No State Project.
Well, Mark, I appreciate your show. I really do. I hope that it wasn't something that I said. Anyway, the reason for my story is to assure people that just because someone's wearing a black robe and a whole bunch of the population are afraid of them doesn't mean that they're necessarily good people. And it's taken me a long time to come to that realization. The world has changed.
It certainly has, and you know, the best, you know, we could do is, you know, one of the best things we could do is let people know that when you go in there, this is the word honorable is one in title only. And I appreciate.
I was told and always taught that you can ask a person for the respect, but you have to earn it. You can never demand it. And if you're going to hold someone to a high standard, then your closet should be pretty clean. And I hate to tell you, I got a great deal of enjoyment when I was at home a week or so later and saw him on the television. I called my wife and I said, look here. And she couldn't believe it. I mean, the guy was dealing dope out of his house. It's amazing.
Yeah. That's just one of the parts of the drug war where they have a very real problem in a lot of police departments with police stealing and then reselling the drugs. So I do appreciate the call, John. Please keep listening. Call again.
All right. Thank you.
I want to move. Do we have James in Alaska who's been holding for quite a while? James, welcome to the No Stay Project.
Well, thank you, Mark. How are you this morning?
Doing great. It's early, but you know, we're waking up slowly.
Well, you're just getting all the technical glitches out of the way for the rest of the day, I guess.
There you go.
Mark, I was wondering if you guys had any, or if you had any, for entertainment purposes only, of course, and educational purposes, for talking with the Internal Revenue Service, you know. I've kind of made a study of the income tax system, and I found out that in a closer reading of the law that I'm really not an employee, and I didn't receive any wages and didn't work for an employer as defined in the Internal Revenue Code.
Well, that's not a way. It's something I typically do. I take it from a more basic, fundamental standpoint. It's one of application of the code itself, because I personally wouldn't care. I mean, they could pass a statute that said James, you know, whatever your, you know, James X in Alaska has to pay us 40% of his property every year, and it doesn't matter because show me the facts that this is applicable and created an obligation.
Well, that's true.
So I do have a script with dealing with the IRS. But I don't get into the whole definition of employer or employee.
I understand that. The problem with what you were saying, though, is they take the money and then your obstacle is to get it back, you know?
Well, that's if they get the money. You know, thankfully, there are things in place that I know you got to go through a letter writing campaign. But however, in all the cases that I've worked with, it has been the case where property was forcibly taken first. You timely respond to each letter, and most cases are resolved without any court appearances or anything like that. Because typically, if you have to go to court, the game is over. That's the way it goes. But it's a matter of getting the. Well, I'm helping someone right now, and I do things the same way every time, James.
Yeah.
I call the agency. And I want to know the name of the individual who's responsible for the assessment. And then I want to know if they had personal knowledge of the facts. And just this past week, I had another agent, a Mr. Anderson, by the way, which is interesting, a Mr. Anderson who admitted to me, just like other agents have, that there are no witnesses with personal knowledge of the facts. In fact, if you read on my website, adventuresinlegaland.com, I actually discuss and have an audio clip of a revenue agent admitting, just like Mr. Anderson did, there's no witnesses with personal knowledge of the facts, and there's no evidence.
Well, it's a little bit difficult because I turned in the 1040 form, and then later on I found out that I wasn't an employee and all that stuff. Then I turned in a 1040X. Now I've got a frivolous.
Yep.
No basis in law. So how do you deal with anything like that?
Well, that's a really tough one because you file a return. I'm not telling anybody to do or not to do anything. It's when there's no return filed, it's always a much easier position to defend or to prove that there's nothing there.
Exactly.
Whenever there's a return filed, that always muddies things because they want to know why you filed a return.
Well, because I was unknowledgeable of the actual application of the law when I first signed the first time.
I would do it basically the same way, where I would look at, was I actually obligated to file a return at all? Because they're going to say, they're alleging that another return was supposed to be filed, right?
Well, no, because I filed one earlier, got some money back, you know, $114, but What I'm asking for now is the return of the rest of the stuff because I wasn't liable for any tax, you know? I mean, I didn't fit the definition of what was in the code as far as employee wages, employer, et cetera.
And just to make the point again, even if you did fit their legal definition, there's no facts to show that it applies to you or anyone else anyway, which is why I don't do something like that. Another thing I want to say is I always let sleeping dogs lie. I know that the majority of the time that people get into trouble is because they have filed something like that or they're asking for something back. Let it go. Money can always be... Almost no amount of money is worth having the IRS attack you. That's just the way I feel about it. It could be $1,000, it could be 10 grand. So, well, let's see, how do I balance this out? I can make 10 grand again, or if I go to get it back, I could spend well over 10 grand trying to get these people off my back, and the chaos or the anxiety that this is going to cause, it's just not worth it. I would look at the basic premise that there's an obligation to do something, and that's what I would focus on.
Right. So it probably be easier just to pay them off, work, press on, huh?
No, it's not necessary. I want to do it as inexpensive and as amount of time consumed as possible. So it's not a matter of just throwing money at it and hoping it to go away. I put it in such a way. Look, like with this agent recently, and you see that we don't need no stinking evidence is the article on my website that has the audio of the Franchise Tax Board employee saying that there's no evidence, and they never rely on evidence. That's what's incredible. They never rely on evidence. There's never any witnesses. I get them into a situation. Oh, imagine this. You're threatening somebody. You're at the IRS or the Department of Revenue, or whatever, and you're threatening to take somebody's house. They ask you a couple simple questions. Do you have any witnesses with personal knowledge of the facts? Do you have any admissible evidence against? And they'll tell you no. I mean, listen to the phone call, and she says without a hint of shame at all, they'll tell you they have nothing.
Right.
Okay. That at least now gives me some teeth, something that I can use that if I have to go into court, they're going to still pursue me. I have their statements that there's no evidence, and that at least is something with teeth. But consider that you're the agent, and you're saying to me, knowing that this call is a record of the call, that there's no evidence. Something's going on in this person's head. They're not all a bunch of raging lunatics. I mean, some of them are very nice people on the surface, okay? And so it starts to dawn on them. I just told this guy we have no evidence against this client.
Okay. So, I guess the evidence that is they're working off is the previous return that I turned in, the erroneous return then, huh?
Well, even that, because I had a friend that, you know, I helped somebody with the IRS, and they were trying to say, well, the only facts we need, sir, is this return right here. So he turned it right back in them and said, so wait, you're telling me if I did not file a return, you'd have no evidence at all that I was required to file.
Okay.
Oh, and that immediately changes their tone. Anything that they say can always be turned into a question and rammed right back down their throat. Well, I shouldn't say it like that, but it should always be common courtesy and done pleasantly so that we get the outcome that we're looking for. But it could always be turned back on them. And they immediately change their entire tune. I mean, you should have seen the look on this guy's face. We could still file a return for you. Why? Because you're required to. Okay, let's focus on the requirement. How is the obligation created? What facts do you rely on? And, of course, that ends the whole conversation.
Okay.
And the fact not appearing is presumed not to exist, and the only way to overcome the presumption, of course, is to produce the facts.
Right. Then, the company sends in the whatever number form that they send in telling them how much you made and all that stuff. And then your duty, I guess, is to dispute those.
No, it's not even a matter of disputing. I had a case that we worked on recently that I've mentioned on the show before. And all I want, and I had asked, we were supposed to be at an income tax hearing with the Franchise Tax Board. And for those attorneys listening, you don't have to be an attorney to help somebody with the Franchise Tax Board in California. And the whole hearing revolved around the issue of the alleged taxable income. And so when I I had asked about facts to support this claim of taxable income. The agent said, no, we can't discuss that. We wouldn't even discuss it. And so the point is that you don't even necessarily have to dispute what they're saying. It's just a matter of asking them for the facts that they rely on, and they won't go anywhere.
Yeah.
You said that I earned taxable income. What facts do you rely on? And they said, well, you have taxable income. Yeah, okay, fine. We're not debating that right at this point. What we're saying is, what facts do you rely on that is taxable income? They can't go any further.
If they told you that it was a company that supplied information, like a W-2 or whatever.
It's the same thing. What witnesses do you rely on with personal knowledge of the facts to support the opinion I had taxable income for this year? It always revolves around the witness. And the Franchise Tax Board here in California, the woman had initially, if you listen to the phone call, and initially gotten very upset with me because she thought I just wanted to yell at somebody. I said, yell at somebody? What are you talking about? She said, well, you said you want the name of the individual responsible. Why? So you can yell at them? No, we're just trying to see if the agent made a correct determination or not. Which is like if I got a traffic ticket and I couldn't read the signature or the badge number of the cop, and then I'd call and I'd want to know the name of the individual who signed the ticket. That's why I always use that analogy between a traffic ticket and a tax assessment. It's always, you've got someone who's making an allegation, and you just want to know who it is to determine if he's a credible witness or not. See, when you're talking about taxes and you're talking about traffic, especially taxes, they don't like the word witness. In fact, they don't even want to admit that the agent who made the determination is a witness at all. I'm sorry, you cut out there. Can you repeat that?
Or I say, or if it even exists.
Well, yeah, and I went through that recently this week where I had Mr. Anderson over there in the Revenue Department get very indignant with me when I was asking about witnesses. And he said, now let me say this for a third time. It's fully automated. There are no witnesses. And I said, okay, so in plain English, you have no witnesses with personal knowledge of the facts. Okay. And it turns out, James, Mr. Anderson calls me back to tell me the name of the agent, that it's a guy named Marty. And I was like, wait a minute. I thought you told me it was fully automated. So we now have a witness, but of course, why should they admit any kind of mistake? It's a taxing agency, and you know, unlike people like Einstein and brain surgeons and rocket scientists, revenue agents never make mistakes.
Oh, perfect. Okay, well, I guess I'll muddle on through this then. Mark, thanks for your time.
Well, thank you for calling, James. Please keep listening. Call again, and I hope you're defrosting up there soon.
Yeah, it's got more snow down there than we do, I think.
Wow, I don't know about that. Well, maybe up where JT is.
Yeah.
I appreciate the call.
Right.
Do we have another caller? I wasn't able to hear.
David.
All right, great. We have David in Texas. David, welcome back to the No State Project, my friend.
Howdy, Mark. How you doing?
How do?
I'm calling. I have a couple of announcements and then a couple of comments that I'd like to mention, if that's all right.
Okay, great. Go for
all
it.
All right. First, it's an announcement of James Ebert's classes on Monday nights at Brave New Books at 1904 Guadalupe in Austin. We meet at 6:45 p.m. on Monday nights. And the next announcement, and I think this is a more important one in my opinion, Dan Simon is going to be having a traffic workshop in Austin at the same location, Brave New Books, on Sunday afternoon, the 25th of February at 2 p.m. And he has a loaded agenda of items. So for people that want to come to this, by all means, come. Brave New Books is on 1904 Guadalupe Street, basement level of the Chase Bank Building by Martin Luther King Boulevard in Austin. It's in the UT District, north of the state capitol. Their website, www.bravenewbookstore.com, and a phone number, 512-480-2503. And I think the list of items is a little too long, but I think people should go to the website, or else, if need be, they could email me. And then a couple comments. As you know, Mark, I really believe and feel that people have got to stop understanding their charges, because the word understand also means something else. It means standing under accepting those allegations and those charges. And
yes, I want to point out, I agree with you, Dave. I fully agree with you, and it's one of the things that I do go and I discuss in the book, and it's in the scripts, about not being an attorney and not understanding. I would be very cautious, and of course this is for entertainment, I would be very cautious, anyone doing it, that people have been, the judge, some judges do, you got to really feel things out. Some judges do not take this stuff lightly. They understand what you're doing, and to get you to back off of that, because they can't proceed unless you understand. So what they do is they threaten you with a psych evaluation, which is worse than going to jail, in my opinion.
Well, that's true, but they also act in fraud.
Well, absolutely, absolutely. David, hold on the line. We're going to go to a break. My name is Mark Stevens. Give us a call at 313-944. That's 800-313-9443. We'll be right back.
Often our bodies are crying out for the nutritional building blocks we require to stay young and strong, but we simply ignore the signs. Inner Health Botanicals, home of Inner Food, the revolutionary energy drink, and Nutra Cafe, the healthier coffee, offers natural and organic whole food supplements that are keys to optimum health. Our Inner Food formula delivers increased energy, incredible nutrition, and consistent use will support your immune system, greatly benefiting your health. Inner Health uses as many organic, wildcrafted whole foods and herbs as possible. Wholesome nutrition and a healthy immune system make a huge difference in your lifestyle. Heal yourself through whole foods and herbal nutrition. Visit Inner Health at innerfood.com. That's E-N-E-R-food.com. Or call 866-762-9238. Inner Health is your one-stop source for energy, nutrition, and health. Look for daily specials.
The Idaho Observer is one of the last independent American presses and isn't afraid to print the truth. The Idaho Observer is a monthly 24-page hard copy newspaper in its fifth year of addressing important issues affecting all freedom-loving Americans. If you are concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you, then subscribe to the Idaho Observer. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues. Idaho Observer readers receive vital insight into events as they unfold. Our articles editorially emphasize activism and serve as a networking tool for like-minded individuals determined to make a difference. The Idaho Observer, printing what you need to be fully informed on issues that matter to real Americans. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307. That's 208-255-2307.
Hey, America, how does it feel to be flushed down the toilet of political intrigue and treachery into the sewer of slavery and bondage, where perverts and the godless write the rules? Our unborn children are murdered, our esteemed elders are euthanized, and everyone in between is numbered and tracked like criminals so they can be farmed by government, credit, healthcare organizations, like the chicken farmer farms his chickens. Have you had enough? Is it time to declare your liberty? It's your choice, you know. The only place to begin to declare your independence is to have enough food stored so that you never have to go stand in a bread line to give away the rest of your life or sell your children for a bowl of rice and a slice of bread. Call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
To the No State Project. I'm your host, Mark Stevens, the only show on the air dedicated to bringing about a voluntary society. That is a world without government. Because what is government? Nothing more than a group of violent men and women providing a service at the barrel of a gun, and a service they never have to provide. Remember, it was the California Supreme Court, one of just many Supreme Courts, that has ruled that the police in particular really have no duty to do anything. You have to go online, you have to read these cases for yourself to believe it, because I don't think the average person actually will believe that. And I just want to thank silent sponsors again, JT, Mark, and Sagas. Appreciate that. And if you'd like to help support the show, which we do need the support to be able to continue doing the show, give me a ring at Mark Stevens at AdventuresInLegalLand.com. And I want to bring my friend Dave from Texas back to the show in the last few minutes we have. David, welcome back to the No State Project.
Hi again, Mark, and thank you for holding me over. Again, back to my comment before the break, we need to stop understanding their charges, because the people need to be informed and know the nature and the cause and the scope in each and every element of those charges. And how can we understand or accept their charges if we're not informed of their stuff?
Exactly. It's one of the points that I've made a number of times on the radio and in seminars when people say, well, what if the judge is not responsive? What if he just runs right over me and doesn't want to answer us? Well, then you're not being informed. And if you're not being informed, you can't get a fair trial. You can't defend yourself against that which you do not know and understand.
I like to use an analogy, and I've mentioned this to other people. Treat their charges like a collect phone call. You get a quick call from Mr. X of Company A, and you don't know either one, and the operator of the phone company says to you that you have a quick call from Mr. X of Company A, and when they want you to accept the charges, you say no. And that's what I think the people need to do, is stop accepting their doggone charges.
I agree. It's a good analogy. The last thing these people want to do is actually explain the nature of the cause.
Yep.
The charges and the proceedings. I just want to make it clear. It's not just explaining the charge. It's the nature of the proceeding.
Yes.
That is also supposed to, because how can you defend yourself in a proceeding that you have no clue? And I'm not talking about just necessarily going in and doing, is this a court of law or a court of equity or what kind. And I stick on what I believe is the strongest, most effective way of doing, like we've mentioned before, standing. And briefly, right before we run out of time, Dave, I do want to point out, I am going to be doing the second half video, which is going to be dealing strictly with the civil end of things. And I do want to point out, like I mentioned earlier, I'm glad I have a moment before the show's over, you're not going to get information like this on the mainstream news, that you've got 500,000 people in jail right now, prison, on bogus charges, that there's no basis for a drug charge because there's no corpus delicti, which damn well does apply in felony cases, all criminal cases. Mm-hmm. But you're not going to see that in the paper anytime soon. Because even the alternative media will not post a link or a link to the article about it. They're just not going to do it. That is from personal experience. I can tell you, I have sent that link out to quite a number of mainstream media outlets, and only two have posted it, and that's Ernie Hancock on Freedom Phoenix and RobsStrikeTheRoot.com. Dave, I appreciate you coming back on the show.
Hey, you're welcome.
Please keep listening. Call again. Hope everything goes successful with James. I'm glad to hear that he's out, and I hope his appeal does well. Hopefully we can have him on the show. My name is Mark Stevens. This has been the No State Project for February 17th, 2007. And next week, at this time, I will be in Sedona doing a workshop. So if you're not signed up yet, get to AdventuresInLegalLand.com and sign up today.